Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi and Kristen live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and say habari gani to my new friends and say what's up to my old friends. Once again, thank you for joining the Care to Read Room. We are embarking upon our topic for the month, dealing with the benefit of being in a tribe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be talking about a tribal situation this evening. We'd like to thank you for joining us, and I hope you are getting ready for the holiday season. We want to wish you and yours a very, very happy holiday. And if you look at our billboard, our topic for this day is Welcome to the Tribe, Part 1. Now, in talking about the Part 1 that we'll be discussing for today, we're talking about how will we, the tribe, be governed. What do we need to do to govern ourselves, and what designates us as a tribe? Then we'll be talking about the New World Order. In the New World Order, how will the tribe survive, and what designates a tribe? So we'll be talking about all those things. And if you'd like to join us, you can come in and join us. And our phone number is 646-478-0270. And our chat rooms are now open, ladies and gentlemen, and we'd like for you to come in and chat with us. So please do join us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Hold tight. Welcome to the Care to Read Room, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. This is your Omi Yinka. I am your Empress, the one that's here to serve you, and I am your advisor, and I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to skip our ritual this evening because we want to get right in the topic. We came on the show a little late this evening, and this evening we're going to get right into the conversation on the benefits of a tribe, what designates a tribe, and we're also going to be looking at how will the tribe be governed. So as we bring our discussion to a closure, we want to talk about the benefits of a tribe. We always have heard the old term, two heads are better than one, and it's very important to understand what that concept actually means. But we want to get into the topic, and we want to ask you to join us in our chat room. We don't have a co-host in there, so I'll be hosting that room as well. But if you'd like to join us in the chat room, you can. You're certainly welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, I have talked about different aspects of the tribe. And tonight we'll be talking about what governs a tribe. How do you determine what governs a tribe? Now, there has to be something to differentiate a tribe from other groups. One is that no individual makes the decision alone, and that the tribe has to be governed by a group. And to determine if the group is functioning like it should function, the whole tribe has to be committed to making decisions and looking at what's best for the group. Now, as we began to understand, the tribal people in Africa have come up on many different divisions because of tribal issues. And we see tribal wars continuously throughout Africa and the motherland. And people tend to wonder, why are there so many wars in Africa? And one of the reasons is that there are tribal issues. And there are a number of countries who have been completely shut down because of tribal issues. Now, the same thing goes on here in the United States. We we have tribal issues continually. We just don't call them tribal issues, but we belong to a tribe as well. And believe it or not, being an American designates that you are in some type of category and you are part of a society. Let's talk about what civilizes us, number one, and how do we become civilized. Now, if you think back to the ancient world initially was cultivated from a perspective of being ancient. Now, does that mean that that ancient world is uncivilized? Does that mean that they're not cultivated? When we look at the 21st century compared to the ancient world, which world would you prefer to be a part of? Which tribe would you prefer to be a part of, should I say? As we look at the ancient world, being quaint and old does not designate insignificant. It does not designate that it is rough around the edges, uncivilized. We know that our civilization came from Africa. All things were civilized through the concept of reasoning. And the concept of reasoning came from Africans. There was no Greek philosophy. As bad as we would like to believe that the Greek gave us reasoning, most Africans will sit down and tell you, the ones that are ancient and know their history, they will sit down and tell you that all reasoning came from the African. Since they were the first to set foot on this earth, they had to have civilized themselves around reasoning. Now, for us to accept the fact that Africans brought civilization, Homer, Aristotle, Hippocrates, they all confirm what I'm saying. They wrote it first and confirmed it by talking about the civilization that they were given through studying under Africans. They literally spent so much time under the tutelage of the Africans that when they returned to their prospective home, they sat down with their tribe and explained to them that they had learned many things and that they were now becoming wiser and more civilized because of the training and tools that the Africans had given them. Most of the Greeks did not want to believe this nor accept it, and they didn't want a word of it spoken out in public to anyone because they were not hearing of this concept of the Africans giving the Greeks reasoning. So therefore, Homer, Aristotle, and Hippocrates, they were incarcerated. They were literally locked up. And Aristotle and Homer's family was hysterical about what was happening to them. They were also, one of them was made to drink the hemlock, and they were poisoned to death because they didn't want a word of this to seep out to society that the Africans were giving reasoning. But little did they understand that most of the schooling was over in the colonels and the annals of Africa. Most of the higher level training, where the 360 degrees of knowledge were given, or the 33 degrees of knowledge was given to Moses. Moses even knew this. Jesus knew it. He spent time in Africa as well, learning and gaining knowledge. As he was there gaining knowledge, he too obtained so many degrees of knowledge. Now, if all of civilization was found there, it's only inevitable that that would be where the first university was. Now, in that area for the first university was, that's where the training was given. So you're looking at universities in Africa. That's right. If these people were so bush and so ignorant and unintelligent, how could they be giving reasoning? How could they be giving certificates of completion of degrees of knowledge? The circumference of knowledge, I was told, is the 360 degrees of knowledge. So they weren't just giving out lightweight certificates. They were throwing down some real tutelage and training because they were in the schools of metaphysics. Now, here we are about to talk about metaphysics. If they were training in the schools of metaphysics, then you had your soothsayers and you had your wizards and you had those who pretended to know how to change the chemistry, but literally they were using magic. But in the school of Africa, where they had the Timbuktu universities, they were giving out metaphysics training. What is metaphysics training, you would probably ask? And where does it come from? And how does it differ itself from that knowledge that you would get from a traditional school? Well, metaphysics deals with the scientific unknown and the paranormal. And it has the ability to have an appearance of magic. However, most of the metaphysics-trained people were not trained to do magic. Magic is temporary. Magic is used by some spells. And magic is not the same thing as metaphysics. Metaphysics is dealing with the ability to put a trance or change the atmospheric pressure and the trance conducing a person to being able to lift something off someone or to put somebody in a trance. Now, Jesus did this, and it was discovered that Jesus was able to use metaphysics for most of his healings. Number one, when the 12 disciples were out on the sea with Jesus and Jesus took them out to cast their net, he told them exactly where to cast their net because that particular side of the boat was where he submitted to the fish to commit suicide so that they would be available to be able to be cast into the net. Some sort of metaphysics had to be done in order for that many fish to allow themselves to be given up to the fishermen. Now, you must remember Jesus did a number of different healings and laying hands. He even told the Samaritan man. When the Samaritan man came to Jesus, he had such great faith. He said, look, Jesus, I know what you've done out there in the courtyard. I know of the greatness you've done. You don't have to convince me that you're a metaphysic man. You don't have to convince me that you have healing in your hands and that you could even send healing. So I am not even worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm an unclean man for me to even come into your house or you to come into my house. The work I do in acting as a servant for Pontius Pilate would not even be conducive for me to come in your presence. Why don't you just send your word, God? Just send your word, Jesus, and I will trust that my daughter will be healed. Just send your word out there. The Samaritan man believed so strongly in Jesus' metaphysics that he asked him to just send the word. And upon that request, the word was sent out to this man's house, and a metaphysic act was taking place to send the energy out. He sent ether out in his hand. Now, metaphysics trained people are trained to send Reiki healing. And at that time of the ancient civilization, it wasn't called Reiki, but it was the same form of sending energy. Now, did Jesus practice metaphysics? Yes, I believe he did. Do I have substantial evidence to prove it? No, but I don't think there's anyone out there to debate me that has substantial evidence to prove that he didn't. Now, once again, the reason why I know that Jesus was a metaphysics man, because they indicated that King David, that Jesus was a descendant of King David. King David was involved with many, many women. He was also involved with women that were involved in the metaphysics world. His first concubine was a black woman, and she was involved in metaphysics. Metaphysics world existed for the Egyptians. It was very, very highly looked upon, and most of the doctors were metaphysics doctors. They were naturopathic medicine man, so to speak. And during that time, their healing was done with essential oils. They sent fragrances into the air, vapors into the air, and permeated the atmosphere with pure essential oils to do the healing in the body. So that was a form of metaphysics, and most of the doctors who had the ability to do naturopathic medicine were doing reflexology, iridology, aromatherapy. They all were practicing a form of metaphysics. And those metaphysicists that are out there now, you know what I'm talking about. If you are able to take essential oils and create healing balms out of it, then you're a metaphysicist. You rearrange the chemistry. If you're able to take white sugar and place it and dissolve it into a form of tea, you are transferring and changing the chemicals. If you are making tinctures out of essential oil, you are a metaphysicist. You are changing the chemical bonds of a particular combination. Now, with Jesus going over into Africa to learn metaphysics, the disciples wanted to know of this medicine and this training and where Jesus got it from. And Peter leaned very heavily on learning what metaphysics was all about, because it was stated in the mutilated book of the Bible that Jesus, too, wanted to train Peter because he wanted to make him the rock. So Jesus allowed Peter to come, and Peter, too, was able to use his metaphysics ability to heal simply with his shadow. A shadow of a man is also the image of a man's presence. He was able to use his healing for that purpose. Now, how do you suppose that Jesus fed 1,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? How do you suppose he did that? Was that an allegorical story, or was that a narrative that was told in a perspective way where in those days a loaf of bread wasn't what it is today? Jesus once again used metaphysics. He used metaphysics in the form of the loaves. The loaves were represented by another analogy. He used the form of metaphysics. Even when Jesus went into a village with Mary and Mary Magdalene, Mary his mother, and the hostess said, one of the invites said there was no more wine, and they asked Jesus to produce wine. That was Jesus' very first metaphysical miracle. He had never created a miracle prior to that. And he was rather skeptical about even letting people know he knew metaphysics. However, he did change the water chemicals into wine. Now, how was he able to do that? How was he able to do that as a natural man? Remember, Jesus walked the face of this earth. He was a natural man, but he did often say that there was none good but the Father. But he also said, if you saw me, you saw the Father. And in so many words, what he meant was, I and the Father are one. We believe in the same thing. So don't go asking me if I believe something else. We both believe in the same thing. He didn't mean that God and him were as one. They couldn't possibly be. God couldn't possibly be down here on earth and still sitting on the throne. He would be a schizophrenic. You and I both know that. Now, it is throwdown time, and I already told you that we're going to have to sell our coat and buy a sword. So let's not talk gibberish. Let's talk real here. Can we talk real here for a minute? So that we could clarify some things about metaphysics. Because a lot of you are walking around gifted and have healing in your head, and you're naturopathic medicine doctors, and you also have the ability to speak a thing and send your energy. So you need to come clean today and come off of some of the falsehoods that have been told about the healing that Jesus was performed. He was a bona fide metaphysics. And those who have searched the records and the scriptures and cross-referenced not just the biblical Bible, the King James, but many books, because there were books that preceded King James, the coming forth by day and night, the book of the dead. These scriptures and scrolls reveal that Jesus was a metaphysicist. Now, once again, what does metaphysicist mean? And how can we benefit in a tribe today in utilizing the skills of a metaphysicist? I'll tell you how. In today's time, there's always a medicine man or woman in the midst of you, one or two in the midst of you, because we won't always have access to allopathic doctors. And sometimes an allopathic doctor handles acute cases, but preventative maintenance must be handled by naturopathic medicine doctors, holistic doctors who will work towards preventative maintenance, not necessarily dealing with the acute. Now, sure, if you have an artery broken and you're bleeding, you must go see a doctor who's dealing with an acute case who can stitch you up and stop the bleeding. Once again, we're talking about what governs us in a society of tribal people and how do we civilize ourselves. As you know or may not know, the first doctors were women. They were medicine women. They were healers. They were sphinxes. They were medullas who handled all the medicine in the village and in the land. Most of those women were innately able to deliver babies and knew exactly what to do. Now, in a tribe, you need all these skills because when the new system comes into place, we're going to have to reinvent ourselves and civilize ourselves once again. What has happened to our nation, to our community, and to our tribal people, we've become uncivilized. So therefore, we're taking up strange fruit and behaving in an inadequate way. The manner in which you see society living and functioning is abnormal. It is not the norm of it is a paranormal behavior and not the norm of a civilized tribal human being. Once again, in that tribe, we must civilize ourselves and set up a governmental order. And there's a hierarchy ranking system that must be set up in a tribal setting. You must understand that gods do not need to govern themselves with laws, but there needs to be a hierarchy structure set up. So as Moses tried to set up a hierarchy structure to govern the people, lawlessness happens when there's no hierarchy system set up. That's when you get lawlessness. That's why we see lawlessness reaping and bombarding our system today. Our governmental system is no longer effective. It does not work. That's why you see the lawlessness perpetrating itself throughout the land. So how can you govern a system and create a hierarchy so that people will self-govern themselves? You create laws to protect them, or do you create laws to hold them and keep them in bondage? Some laws have been created to keep you in bondage. I want you to know that. They have never intended to protect and bring safety. So therefore, once the people realize tyranny can become difficult to live with and it can impose some sort of stress upon you in your life, so therefore, in governing a society, the hierarchy system must be respected. A certain amount of respect must go forward in order for the hierarchy system to be effective. And in setting it up, the matriotic women, hello, gods, how are you? And I want you to know, women, you are going to head up the hierarchy system and setting up a matriotic system that will govern well and function well. Our civilization has been broken, and the civilization in the land is no longer honored as if it's supposed the way it's supposed to be. So it's very important that you understand that the type of governmental system that we need should have changed with the time, and it it hasn't changed with the time. You have a more tribal people now than you ever had before. So therefore, it calls for a tribal setting and a tribal atmosphere of tribal people. We must look to the gods now for direction, and we must ask them to look into their Akashic record, that's right, to go into a trance and to allow their higher self to press forward to give us a vision for the future, for healing ourselves, for properly feeding ourselves, and for governing ourselves. If a nation cannot govern itself accordingly, tyranny will reign throughout society. If a nation cannot feed themselves, tyranny will continue to reign. So developing discipline is going to be an innate thing that's going to be required of all matriotic societies, and they are the ones that govern the households. So we are the ones that will implement this matriotic governmental system to take away the tyranny. For some reason, when men are governing, they wreak havoc and create tyranny amongst themselves, which begets more tyranny. When the tyranny is taken out of society and harmony and peace, righteousness through Mayat is brought in, and we're going to have to usher in a Mayat from the Kemetic ancient system type of system that will work for everyone. And the Maya system is not enough time to explain it, but if you want to go and get Dr. Ron Neffer's book on the Kemetic, the Meta Nectar 1 and 2, I suggest you read that. It lays out the Kemetic Matriotic Society and what the feminine Kemetic system is all about. It's very important that we should look at going back to our Kemetic, our ancient heirs, to become more tribal. We will now not just become civilized, but we will become accustomed to living a righteous life because we become uncivilized, and we must go back to the ancient civilized traditions of Kemetic and understand that this was one of the first systems that ranked and ruled for eons in a civilized, that was a system that was well civilized and well governed. It's not abnormal to look back to our ancient gods and forefathers for a solution for a time like this. For a time like this, we must understand that we're looking to govern ourselves without tyranny and to bring in societies of institution that incarcerate and that warehouses people and keep them incarcerated. It is not a system that will work. It will continue to make and create tyranny. So we have to come up, us women, us guys, will have to come up with a system that will better rehabilitate and govern men and cause them to want to live upright, and they will self-govern themselves. When you create rules, rules were meant for the lower level people who are still trying to come out of the spirit, come out of the flesh, and come into the spirit. In this new system that we're going into, people are going to be working from a spiritual level. They are going to make their peace with God and go completely to the level of being a spiritual being, living a godly life. When gods are on the scene, you can't help but live a godly life because it's required of you. It is your reasonable service. And that is what you will be given under a matriotic society. That's what you will want to get. Now, we're not making a transition into the new world just to get another order. We are changing the order because the old one does not work anymore. And really, we have walked away from godliness, so it never did work. Eventually, it was going to come to this where the society was going to collapse and all areas were going to start to fail. And that's what we have seen, all areas failing. So we are preparing ourselves and getting ready for ourselves for the year of the 20 1st of December, we are preparing ourselves and we're looking at what is about to happen and what changes need to take place. Every one of these Blog Talk radio stations should be discussing and talking about what is about to transpire with the feminine energy coming in. If you are a metaphysics doctor or in the metaphysics world, you will begin to understand that you cannot function without talking to someone about the benefits of being a part of metaphysics. You will need these skills, and you will have to govern your society with these skills. If you don't know what I'm talking about and still need to find out more, I suggest you do more reading, finding out what is the metaphysics. Now, in other races, when they saw people trying to practice metaphysics, they were merely imaging and replicating what they saw through trying to use magic, but magic is not the same thing as metaphysics. You have got to be chosen to be a metaphysicist, because everyone will not be able to practice and understand what metaphysics is. You might have soothsayers who pretend to be and who are using false spells and who are using things that are not of metaphysics, because the metaphysics world comes from a spiritual world. And if you're not in the spirit and you're calling yourself practicing magic, you are not a part of metaphysics. And metaphysics people know who they are, and they practice the spiritual thing diligently, and they go into the spirit and are given power so that they're able to carry out the spirit. It takes the spirit to assist you in a metaphysics realm. You cannot function in a metaphysics realm without being in a spiritual position. So what am I saying then? I'm saying that Jesus practiced in a metaphysics world. All of our great men and women who had gifts were practicing in a metaphysics world because they had unusual power, which makes them a god. Just like Imhotep had unusual power to heal, he practiced in a metaphysics world. His powers were so great that he was one of the first doctors to create the staff and the serpent. He also created the stair-step pyramid. Everything he put his hands to and touched, he mastered it. He truly was a god. And I know we've got some gods out there who are mastermind, not because of your degree. You had this knowledge long before you gotten any form of degree. You were already a metaphysicist in the womb. You were called for this moment. You were called and you were ordained for this particular time. Your hands have always been anointed. You've had a veil over your eyes, and your third eye has always been open. You know who you are. Why don't you stand up? Why don't you, better yet, tell somebody that you felt this way for many years of your life, and now somebody finally put a name to it. It's metaphysics, and tribal people should be practicing it and be a part of it. Tribal people should be implementing it and healing their people and showing others how to get the spirit so they too could become tribal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I have just gotten upfront and comfortable and personal with you. I want you to look forward to calling in tomorrow, calling into the station to talk about your experiences. We're going to talk about some experiences in the metaphysics world tomorrow. Why don't you meet me in the atmosphere tomorrow, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Near me, having you here, I cover. a time, but we had a ball. Let's catch a move.